Hey, wow. I even have sound right away. All right, I might have actually made it on time this time. I'm told if we don't start right on time, we get in trouble. So, if you'd like to join us, good morning. In case you're confused, I'm not Chick. I don't know. you may appreciate that, you know. So, Chick is out this week. He is enjoying his honeymoon with his trophy wife, because... He can do that, and it makes him happy. So by way of this, we seem to have started an annual tradition now. We'll see if it actually holds up, but since Chick's out, he has decided to have the home fellowship leaders do kind of a pitch and, you know, let you guys know what's going on, stuff that's coming up here. So there will be four of us this morning, and to be clear, because apparently I wasn't clear enough about this first service, the four of us that will be speaking this morning are all home fellowship leaders this season. So if you're interested in what we're talking about and you want to join, feel free to come talk to us afterwards. With that, let's pray. So, Lord, I thank you for this morning, this opportunity for us to get together. I ask that you would give the four of us clear words to speak, that your word would go out and this would somehow make sense to everybody out there, and that they would do something good with it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I didn't hear a lot of enthusiasm on that one. You guys don't want to have to apply things? All right, that's better. Okay, so home fellowship. This is a thing that we now do seasonally. So there was a time in the past where we did it year-round, but now we've focused it on more of our in-reach portion of the year, which is over the winter. So during the summer, we do more outreach. During the winter, we do more in-reach, where we try and build up the body. And what Home Fellowship is a weekly meeting where we come together and we spend time in worship and in prayer and in fellowship. We, a lot of them eat. I don't know if that's a requirement, but a lot of us do, because, you know, who doesn't like food? You know, calorie chopper all the way. So whatever we can do to keep people fat and lazy enough to not leave. you know, however you get there, it works out. So it's, yeah. And this is weird for me. This is the first time I'm doing two services back to back. So I'm trying to remember what I did first service, and I'm just not going to get it right. So we're going to see what comes out, and we're going to enjoy the show. So... In the early church, in the start of the Christianity, Jesus had his disciples and he set them up and he got things going. And then, as he did his thing and it was time for him to go back, and you know, you get the lead up to Pentecost where, you know, you finally get people getting some things right and a lot of people converting, and the church really gets established early on. What we end up with is this idea of the church. And in scripture, there are a couple of different kinds of references to the church. One of them is the universal church, the full body of believers across all time and space, which is a perfectly fine reference, but it's pretty broad. And you know, that body is the bride of Christ. That's a good deal, and we get to be a part of that. But all the other references you see to the church in scripture are more local. You see the church in a place. You see, you know, the church in Ephesus, or the church in Corinth, or the church in Ephesus, or what, you know, it's a church there. But you also get a handful of references where you get the church in a person's home. So 1 Corinthians 16, 16:19 says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So that local body of believers that's in their home is part of that work, is coming together and is also, you know, joining in that. You get Romans 16:15. There we go. Helps if I remember my references. Nope. Was it 15, 16? 16:5. Thank you, Katie Carl. Always there for me. I'm so sad you're not going to be in my home fellowship this year. So, likewise, greet the church that it is their house. Salute My well-beloved, we don't care who that guy is. But the point was, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So you have this local meeting. You have this, you know, close group, this local community, really, which is kind of the thing. So when we talk about home fellowships, this is part of the structure of our fellowship. We do this because it does help establish communities. It maintains that close circle of people who can come alongside of each other and challenge each other and encourage each other and build each other up. This is important. It's a key to the church. And as it was pointed out when we were planning this little teaching, you know, you can't get closer to the early church than this. So in Acts, I'm just jumping right through all of the random things here. Acts 2, verse 42. Well, I'm going to back up. I did this first service, so every time I try and skip things. Verse 41, it says, "Then they gladly received his word, were baptized the same day, were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So this is after Pentecost. You know, this is Pentecost. Peter gives this big speech, and a lot of people get saved. This is essentially the founding of the church, because before this, it was just the direct followers of Jesus. They were there with him. Now we actually have this thing coming into existence, this larger structure and cluster. And verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." So what we do in home fellowship is we come together, and the order of things can vary by group, and the feel of the group will vary by group. You'll notice we're all very different leaders. So if you don't like one of them, don't write us all off, you know, we're all different. So last season, that's actually how I started the season. I sat everybody down, I went, "Look, you're here, you're checking it out, that's great. If you don't like how I do things, go to one of the other ones, because it won't be the same." But the principles are the same. So we spend some time in worship, we spend some time in prayer, communion, you know, food. But kind of the middle body of it is we discuss application, and what we do is we look at Sunday's teaching. So in my case, we meet on Wednesday nights from 7 to 9, and we do the previous week's Sunday message. So it's, you have 10 days. You hear, you know, Chick or whoever happens to be here get up and speak. They do whatever they do. You have 10 days to review that, consider it, think about, you know, and figure out what God is trying to show you and how you can apply that in your life, so that then you can come and you can show up with, you know, a group of up to 15 people, and you can discuss how that's working in your life. So there's kind of an old joke in teachings about a 50-50 message, where it makes it 50 feet or 50 minutes, whichever comes first. And it's a common enough thing where people think, all right, I'm going to show up to church, and, you know, I've done my thing, I've acknowledged God, I'm good now, I can go do whatever stupid I want all week, and then I can come back and do it the next week. And we're really not called to that as Christians. We're called to have a walk and a relationship with God. So, and part of that is the body needs the opportunity to minister to itself and to come together. So the focus in home fellowship there is on this application and coming alongside of each other. The leader is not there to teach. They're there to facilitate the discussion, because it is about the group. It is about building that community. It's about being involved in each other's lives. And it's just priceless if you get into it. But, you know, the reality is some of those things can be kind of scary. You know, it's hard to, you know, closely know everybody in this room. And especially since we have two services, it's easy to miss some people. It's a lot to take in, but you can keep up with 15 people pretty reasonably. And then you have a group that you can turn to, that you can come alongside, and that's going to come alongside you, which is just a wonderful thing. Feel however you want about that, but I think it's a good thing. I think our other speakers will probably do a better job of explaining why that's a wonderful thing, but and I think I'm running a little bit fast, actually, this time, because I'm only 9 minutes in. So I guess I got past the nervousness and got into just talking too fast. But yeah, so it's not a teaching time. It's not counseling. It's not an AA meeting. You know, it's not show up and talk about yourself. It's we come together and we discuss how God is working in our lives, in particular in relation to the teaching that we all sit under here. So if you're a part of this body, you're a part of this fellowship, you're choosing to engage in that, this really is kind of a core thing. We've had some recent hang-ups about, location and whatever else. But again, Scripture talks about the church in a location. So we are Calvary Chapel St. Paul, right? We're here. That's why we're trying to build here. So the vision is 17 home fellowships in St. Paul. And for that to eventually happen, we'll need more people to step up and lead. We'll need more people to host. It's part of the body growing, but it's also a way that we get to maintain that small church community feel even as we grow as a body, which I think is a wonderful thing. When we were discussing this teaching, how we wanted to set it up, we had like, how do we start this thing? And I suggested that I could just get up and moon everybody and that would break the ice, but the other leaders didn't think that was appropriate. So Ed and I put our heads together. And with that, God help you.
Yes, it's what happens when you put a couple heads together between Doug and I. Yeah, the thing is that the Lord was showing me regarding home fellowship to be open, honest, and transparent. And it's something that Chick brings up all the time. And I think in regards to the context of home fellowships in general, it is a great opportunity to do just that. As Doug, I called him Chick last service, but as Doug, a.k.a. not Chick, had brought up before, is that the layout of home fellowship, it will vary from place to place, from one fellowship to another. But it's a time of just worship, breaking of bread, and sharing with one another. And part of that sharing is being open, honest, and transparent. And for me, I think that's one of the key things that I've had to deal with is, oftentimes people would think because I'm not much of a speaker, that there's humility there, that people are like, oh, you're a humble person. And that's not the case at all. I'm a very proud person in my core and in my heart. And so whenever I succeed, oftentimes pride is one of the things that crops up into my life. And so it's very important having a home fellowship and having a small group where you can just be completely honest and just start ripping down those things. Now it's a matter of, I can take these opportunities and just totally, change it around. I mean, this, I look at last service for me, that was, to me, it was just, it just destroyed me in a sense, And the thing is that, to be honest, as a home fellowship leader, this is gonna be the first time leading a home fellowship. I've been participating in home fellowships for many, 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 many years. But it'll be the first time actually leading one. And whenever I have success in my life, it's quick for me to be able to just, he's using the lap. All right. Anyway, something newly discovered. It's easy for me to just be proud and do that. And the thing is that entering into this new point in my life, I am just surrendering to God everything. It's like going, I know I have some intelligence in various things. It's like I am very smart when it comes to, being able to look at something new technology-wise and be able to digest and work that thing out. But regards to personal relationships and human relationships, I'm a toddler. That's probably why I'm in the children's ministry and enjoy that, And I'll be working with the little ones next year, or next week, or yeah, next week. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, back to home, being in home fellowships and being open, honest, and transparent. It's a key thing. Tearing down those walls, you can do that with 15 people. And the whole point is that not only are you giving, because the thing is that other people can be struggling in those same areas as that you might be struggling in. And these are opportunities for you to actually go and just, in a sense, just expose whatever you're dealing with and have a people who will not judge you, but be able to come alongside you and build you up. There are some scriptures that the Lord has showed me for this, and so we go through those here real quick. So Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And I think this is really apropos for home fellowships, because the thing is that, you know, being open, honest, transparent in a home fellowship setting gives you the opportunities for people to come alongside you and encourage you and build you up. I would say you're foolish to not participate in such an opportunity. The thing is that you can do more. I mean, the thing I look at in marriage, I do more now married than I ever did as a single person. And that is because I have, you know, I said, we're going to take the hill, you know, and then my wife is like, well, what about these little battles that are going on to get to the top of that hill, right? I'm the big scope person, you know, and my wife has been able to encourage me and point out the possible problems that I might be running into. And so then I can take it more wisely, right? So that's one of the verses that I take, and I'll say, not being a part of home fellowship, it's foolish. In the sense that you get an opportunity to have someone come alongside you and build you up. It's you can't pass that up. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. All right, the thing is this, we're not to lie to one another. Part of the home fellowship, you know, the thing is that to participate in a home fellowship, you need to at least have listened to the Sunday's message that you're looking to apply in that, right? That's the minimum, to just participate, right? To be able to show up. And the thing is that if you don't do that, you know, there's times I'll be like, oh, you know, I can't be there. You know, I was out doing something and I got sidetracked, and all of a sudden I realized, man, I didn't listen to Sunday's message. Sometimes I'll just quickly at least get it in so I can do that, you know, and just be there. But then I have to then be open, honest, and transparent and say, yeah, I just listened to it and I didn't apply it, right? The thing is that you still get an opportunity to participate in prayer. You get pulled, you know, people come alongside you and say, well, okay, well, you know, next time. I remember one time we had a brother who was showing up, and he had shown up for 3 weeks, I think 3 or 4 weeks, and did not have anything to apply every single time. But it's what he needed. After that fourth week, he finally started to apply God's word. And things changed in him. You know, it's like going, what better place than in a home fellowship where these things can happen, where iron sharpening iron, and we can build each other up. We can encourage one another to be better than what we were before. And that is part of home fellowship. Home fellowship has all these great advantages to it. One of the other things I'd like to bring up here is in Romans chapter 12, verses 15 through 18. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I'm going to stop there for a second. You know, in home fellowship, you know, actually, I'll just read the rest of it. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things and in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. So in the first part, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The thing is that that's one other great benefit of having a home fellowship, being able to go to them and talk to the, and like I say, be open, honest, and transparent. If there was a success, you have a whole group of people who can be blessed on in your behalf about the success you had this last in the previous week of application of God's word, or whatever else is going on in your life. And the same thing on the opposite end. If there's a failure or a weakness or something like that, or a struggle, you have another group of people who can come alongside you. And again, you need to be able to be open, honest, and transparent. And they will be able to come alongside you and build you up in those times of struggle and weakness. And then one of the other things is to set your mind, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And this kind of wraps up again with one of the things I was saying at the very beginning. And that is that humility is easily, you can easily portray, you know, or put up a facade of humility, right? But in a home fellowship, you can't really do that, because in this environment, this is a point where you start to really learn and know people, and you get to know them really well. And in that case, you'll be able to pray better, I say, for each of the people who are in your home fellowship. And it becomes a true honor and a blessing to serve the Lord in such a capacity where you'd be able to just surrender and give your life. And you can only start doing that by being open, honest, and transparent, falling more in love with the Lord and just giving everything that you have to him. And that's, I think, one of the, like I say, one of the key things there. And I think if it's, yeah. So that's my encouragement to you, is that if you can just be open, honest, and transparent, and it can be the gateway to starting to surrender your life. And this is the thing. This is his mobile pulpit.
So as you heard the preparation before, I made sure that Ed had the opportunity to be able to take notes for the home fellowship that's going to be coming up. And we've got the home fellowship leaders that are coming for you today. My home fellowship, I'm just going to start out with letting you know that I'll be meeting on Mondays. For those of you that are looking to plan times, and some of the other home fellowship leaders, they're still trying to figure a couple things out, but make sure you get a chance to speak with us. The home fellowships themselves will be beginning. Mine will be on Monday, October 15th. Will be the first date there. So, Ed, if your home fellowship doesn't work, you can go ahead and take some notes and get some good application in there. You're welcome to join. But the structure of home fellowship that you've heard so far is the teaching. To be able to be teachable, to be able to learn God's word and be able to apply that. You heard Ed so graciously speak about the humility, about being able to be open and honest with one another, and how that open and honestness is going to be just a fine tuning of what God wants to do in our lives. I'm going to speak in part upon the selflessness that being in a home fellowship can allow you to have in your life, that attribute of selflessness. And for the scriptures, if you would turn with me into John, we're going to be in John chapter 15. Starts out saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That husband is being that vine dresser, that one who looks about his vineyard to inspect it, to see the quality of what's happening and considering what needs to be done to increase its fruit. It says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, he purges, he cuts away, he makes reduce of what is not edifying. If anybody knows about planting and knows about the vineyards and what you need to do to address and to prune, and that act of pruning, that act of cutting away is an act of allowing what is essential to be put where it is essential. Think of that in your own lives. What do you have that is non-essential? What do you have in your life that would be founded and rooted in selfishness opposed to being selfless? And that idea of being selfless, the idea of giving of ourselves for others, is a foundational principle within what Christ has taught us and how we should walk. And being in Christ, we're to follow after him. And that term Christian is that term to be Christ-like. We don't go about speaking, saying that I am a Calvary chaplain, or I am a Roman Catholic, or I am a Lutheran, or I am a denominational believer, whatever it might be. We as a non-denominational church, not that we're opposed to denominations and such, but we bring it down to that idea of being Christian, of being a follower of Christ. And Jesus is that vine dresser. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that it abides in the branch, no more can you except you abide in me. Jesus goes on to say that I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And for without me, you can do nothing. Apart from Christ, what can we really do? Our relationships in this world should be based upon Jesus first. I mean, what are we doing for God? What are we allowing him to do a work in us with? And how are we allowing that work to be brought forth and to be strengthened in our life? We heard Doug speak about the early church, and that the early church, they walked with Jesus. The disciples walked with Christ from home to home as Jesus taught his doctrine to his disciples that were around him. And his disciples, after Jesus left, he did the exact same thing that Christ has taught them to do. Thinking about that, what Christ taught them to do, think about your lives. And what is it that influences you? Because we are so greatly influenced by those that we allow to have that influence on us. I was just talking to another brother earlier about that idea of those that we allow to influence our life, we become like them in a way. And as we are Christians, as we are supposed to be Christ-like, what is Christ pruning away in your life? What is he asking you to whittle back on, to reduce, to be able to be more selfless? If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth, and the branches are withered. And a man gathers them and casts them into the fire. They're burned away. All of that we don't need is burned away if we allow him to do so. Herein my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so also I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. These things have I spoke to you, that my joy might remain in you. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now we're going to rest on this next verse, John 15:13. It says, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lie down his life for his friends. That idea that Christ, that Jesus, he wants to give us his joy. Joy being simply spelled J-O-Y. And as we want to apply a simple principle in our life, we can look at it as Jesus first. What are we doing to have Jesus first in our life? What is it that God needs to prune? What is it that God needs to take away, to remove, to bring up, bring away, to allow him to be first? Thought about it earlier that it would be a great thing if there was an app out there that would give a indication of how often you say a word or a phrase. And if there's something you're trying to change in your life, a character that you're trying to change, having your technology that we have that could be used for such great good, to be able to be honed into that. Thought of that as I was knowing I was going to be coming up here and speaking. And the filler word that's often used as one is looking for a thought is, how often do we say in our life? How often do we say whatever it is in our life? And that us allowing Jesus to be first and him pruning things away, what is it that we need to detect throughout our life, throughout our day, throughout our walk, that we need to be removed? What is it that if we look back on our screen time report for our phones and what it is that we're spending our time in, what is it that we need to take a way to allow that next level of J-O-Y to be there, which is others? What is it that we're putting in ourselves and investing time into ourselves, into selfishness, into me, into what it is I want to do that really needs to be cut back? Doesn't always need to be removed. Not every branch needs to be cut away when we are looking to prune our gardens. But there are some branches that we need to cut back to that space that fruit needs to grow again. So what is it that you have in your life? I challenge you that right now. Is there anything within your life that God is asking you to prune back, to allow first and foremost to be Jesus first? Is there any circumstance that you've brought yourself to where it is that you're at currently that you know that you need to make some changes for Jesus to be first and for others, those that are around you, to be second? Those that are around you within your community, those that are around you within your church, those that are around you that you influence at work, wherever it is that you're at, to allow others to be first. And if that app is out there, and if we were to have that app going, and it were to be looking at our words that we speak throughout the day, and at the end of that day, we hear ourselves saying, me, mine, what it is I want, all of these selfish buzzwords that put you first, instead of others, and yourself last. Think through that one. Take that note. Ed, with that little desk that you have that you can just look a little bit deeper into God's word, just take note of that one. What is it that God wants to do to be able to allow ourselves to be Jesus first, others second, yourself last? And I'm going to finish on this and tying this into what we have with home fellowships. That as a smaller group of 15, and you've heard it spoken that we've have that ability to be able to reach more deeply in one another's lives. If we are considering others first in that small, intimate group of 15, that means that you have 14 people that know you deeper and deeper every single week. 14 people to be able to pray with you, to encourage you, to give you a call, to visit you, to be an example of what we should be walking with in this world, and to come together and to encourage each other. And it's not just you that's fighting this world by yourself. We're not meant to be that. We are meant to be a band of brothers. We are meant to gather together and be with one another. That's what that local church was intended to be, was the gathering of saints. We are not intended just to gather on Sundays only, a couple feasts. We're intended to be able to be intimately involved in one another's lives. And if you're in a spot right now where you're just gathering on church Sundays, and you actually might be a morally person within your work, within your family, within the sphere of influence that you have, but you're coming to church just on Sundays, getting a cup of hallelujah and a praise of the Lord, and going from there to continue on with your day, even though it might be morally right, you're missing out. You're what could be referred to as a Sunday-only Christian. Now, yes, you are better than CEO Christians, which are Christmas and Easter only. But still, God's got something better for you in life. And as I give this last tale, and Jim comes up to be able to present his area, I want to let you know what it is in my home fellowship that sign of love. Now, the sign of love that I've got for you is not that I remember your name. It's just, that's not it. If that was the case, my kids would question whether or not I loved them. The sign of love that I have for you is that I cook for you. The idea of laying down my life and being able to cook and to an incredible meal and the time and energy that goes into that. It was said to me once that barbecue takes way too long to make for anybody you don't love. So within my own fellowship, man, I love you guys. Love you guys a lot. I believe we are the most loved, best prayed for, best fed home fellowship around that meets on Monday nights. Our home opens up at 6 p.m. for a family meal from 6 to 7. And at 7 p.m., we get into worshiping the Lord, praying, and going into application.
I thought when you said you were wrapping up that I had another 5 minutes, so. Yeah, I feel like just batting cleanup right now, I mean, after everything that's been shared. So Doug has talked about being teachable. Ed has shared about being open, honest, and transparent. And Johnny B has just touched on being selfless. And all these things are just things that I know in my life I've felt more grown up in me and more... I feel those things have been encouraged to grow in my life just because I've been a part of home fellowships. So we joined the church in 2006 when we moved up here, and I don't think I was in a home fellowship till around 2008 or maybe 2009. So we had been coming a while and had been not Sunday only Christians, but really had just been attending church, but less about meeting the people and really getting involved. So that took some time. I had things going on in my life that I thought were more important and things that I really had to develop before I could get really involved in church. And let me just tell you, like, that is such a mistake. You know, whatever you have going on, and I'm not saying it's not important. We all have things that are going on outside these four walls, but for you to be as involved as you can in this church is not only just going to help you as a believer, but it's going to help those things that you're worried about, those other things in your life. So I want to talk to you guys about the other thing that I was encouraged by when I first joined Home Fellowships and that I've seen grow in me throughout the years, and that's just having more love for other people. Here and outside, but especially in here. And there's a number of different ways that that has shown itself in home fellowship, and I want to touch on those. So if we go to Philippians chapter 2, I just have one verse I want to read from there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul is writing to the Philippians, he's encouraging them, and he says, "Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others, having this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." Thinking about other people, putting them first, as Johnny B was just talking about, this is a real opportunity to practice this. I tell you, in my life, as I was saying, like I was slower to want to do some of the things that got me more involved with other people here in Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, because I was more, it's not that I didn't come from a church that had fellowship and had real, you know, spirit-led fellowship, I guess, but here I was being asked to join a group that was really going to get to know me, and I wasn't comfortable with that, and so I wanted to do more of the things that I had on my agenda first. And that was just more thinking about myself than other people. Like we all have a gift here in the body of Christ, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, He's given you at least one gift. And if you're not thinking about other people, then, and if you're not actually showing up and being with other people, whether it's here at church, in Hope Fellowship, whatever, other people are missing out on that gift, whatever it is, that you have specifically for the body of Christ. Like, we're all here to edify each other, to build up the church, to build up Christ's body. And because I didn't show up those first couple of years, there were things that other people were missing out because of my sin on thinking about myself. So let's be thinking about each other and have the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. I mean, Ed was talking about it when he was saying about being open and honest and transparent. There are people who have a sense of false humility. Oh, I don't really have that big of a gift, or I don't even have a gift. I don't even know what my gift is. If my gift is probably so insignificant, it wouldn't matter if it wasn't there anyway. Like, all that stuff is just garbage. And you know it is. And if you've been thinking that, and that's been your reason why you haven't joined a home fellowship so far. And look, nobody here is saying that home fellowships are the requirement to be in this church or in order to be saved or any of that junk. But what we are saying is you have an opportunity to really practice what gets preached here every Sunday and every Thursday. You have an opportunity to get to know other people and to let them get to know you. And if you're not taking that up, like, why not? That's the second thing I wanted to talk about is being in this really close-knit relationship with a few other people instead of being in a bigger group like this where nobody's really focused on you or focused on how your week went or some of the struggles you're going through. When you get into home fellowships, that's not the case. People are focused on each other. And what that results in is an opportunity to be accountable to each other. And so I want to talk about that accountability. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16. One more page here. Book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to God." Well, yeah, you should confess your sins to the Lord. But what does it say here? To one another. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. If you go to home fellowship, you have an opportunity to ask for prayer for your needs, but also to apply James chapter 5, verse 16 and confess those things that need to be confessed to the body. Not that other people need to know, but so that you can have said it publicly and so that they can follow up with you, which is maybe one of the biggest reasons why people don't either join a home fellowship or really get in the weeds of what their life is actually like when they're in a home fellowship. Do you all know how Turkish cymbals, drum cymbals, the cymbals that you bang on when you're playing a drum set, do you know how those Turkish cymbals are made? They pour the molten metal, the alloy, into a cast so that it's in the general shape of a cymbal, but it's not done. In fact, it'll sound like junk if you try to play it. What they have to do next is these artisans take them out after they've cooled, and they put them on their lap, and they just whack at them with a hammer for hours. And so they make these patterns in the symbol based on their expertise and their history of making these things and experience understanding what's going to sound good. They whack these symbols in these patterns, and everyone's unique, right? And then what they do is, after a couple hours of this, they'll hang it up in a room, and they'll come back to it the next day, and they'll hit it with a stick. And it might still sound like trash, or it might sound better. But what they do is they whack it with a stick, and then they come back the next day, and they do it again. And they come back the next day, and they do it again. And this can go on for several days. It can go on for even a week or longer. And what they're listening for is when that symbol has made a change that has lasted more than just a day. When that symbol has settled into its new sound, then they'll take it off, they'll go back with the hammer and whack at it some more. And they'll keep repeating this process until they get the lasting sound. Not just the sound that they want, but the sound that they want that will last. This is a little bit like what being in a home fellowship for me felt like, where you feel like, I have to confess this today. I have to go to home fellowship. I have to go to Johnny B's home fellowship. I have to look Johnny B in the face after I've eaten all of his barbecue and say, I sinned. I did whatever it was. So we had a home fellowship several years ago where someone felt the need to confess that their entire life story up till that point had led them into a place where they were just really bitter and unsatisfied and just troubled in their soul. And we got around this person, we prayed for them, and it ended up being, I wouldn't normally let this happen in a home fellowship because we try to make it about everyone and not just about one person. But this was a thing where we took a really long time in the home fellowship dealing with this one particular confession. And we were praying over this person. And, the next week when we met, another person had been emboldened by what happened the previous week to get up and confess something about their life. And we prayed over that person. And it spiraled into this thing where people were confessing sins, people were asking for healing, people were asking for prayer in very specific ways. I don't know if any of you have gone through this BCF, Biblical Counseling Foundation. They put out these books, and one of them's called Self-Confrontation. And you go through this, and one of the first things it teaches you is, here's a scripture. How are you not applying this? And if you write some generic answer, like, I'm not being loving enough, like they say, X that out. Try again. Now tell me specifically how you were not being loving enough. And that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's what gets really hard for me. I can go to a home fellowship, and I can say, I was really not loving this week. And I don't feel that bad about saying that. I mean, we all know that, none of us are perfect, right? And so, I'm basically coming to home fellowship and saying, I'm not a perfect person. But when I get specific and I say, I was not loving because I did this specific thing this week, and I wanted to confess that to everyone here. That's the hard part, but that's the part that's going to produce that change and that healing that James is talking about in chapter 5, verse 16. So I just encourage you, go there, and like Ed was saying, be as open and honest and transparent as you can. And if you go to my home fellowship, you can hold me to that. And now I know I've said it publicly, so here we go. But there was a third thing I wanted to talk about, and that was John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. And that's just receiving the help from the Lord and from each other. It says here in John chapter 15, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. We get to think about other people. We get to confess our sins. We get to learn to love each other by taking out of our time. You know, there's been home fellowships I've been in where we've had like a serial mover, like someone who like every year it feels like they're moving and they always land in my home fellowship. And it's like, well, all right, when are you moving? And you know, like, but they learn that we require you have to have your stuff packed up, or we'll show up and we'll see, oh, you need help packing. Okay. Well, we'll come back next week. You know, like we just, you know, little things that our pastor has kind of talked to us about, but like we've had these people who, you know, are constantly in need, and you're like, I'm happy to help you once, but in my flesh, I'm not happy to help you twice with the same thing. But I have to get past that. There was a brother, it wasn't in our home fellowship, but that was going through a really serious medical issue. That he didn't know what was causing it. And he just needed prayer. Just prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And it was like the same things coming up each week. And the home fellowship is still there, ready to pray for him. And then eventually the Lord heals him. Just like it talks about in James, that the Lord did a work there. And that's just cool stuff to see. That this person came forward, they confessed, they asked for prayer, and then they were really healed. We are, as a society, not neighborhood-oriented anymore. The internet makes it easy to go find these faux fellowship relationships. And I'm not saying, like, you don't have real friends on the internet if they're just on the internet, but how many of them are going to come to St. Paul, come to where you live, and help you jumpstart your car at 1 a.m. in the morning in February? Whereas that's the kind of stuff that we're doing for each other. The body is strongest when we're all coming together. Satan, on the other hand, wants to keep us apart. If you go to Proverbs chapter 18, I'll just read this real quick. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 1. It says, He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. But that's what Satan wants you to think, is that you've got really important issues and problems that mean you just don't have the time. You don't have the energy. You shouldn't get together with other people. And if you've never considered joining a home fellowship, I would just ask you to pray. Like, Lord, is that me? Is Satan trying to draw me away to go do my own thing? And yeah, I'll show up on Sundays. But beyond that, I don't want to get any closer to these people. I just pray. Is this Satan trying to separate you? And like I said, we all have these gifts for each other. What gifts are we not getting the benefit of because you're not there? And thirdly, we're commanded to redeem the time, because the days are evil. We are not all going to be here forever. And you are missing out on relationships that you could have right here, right now with these people. And so do that. Why wouldn't you want that? Like, get to know these people. This is the body of Christ. And we're commanded to be in unity and of the same mind. And so that's my pitch for home fellowship. I mean, it has really blessed me to think about this, think about these things, and to be like more open and honest and transparent and more teachable and more selfless. And yes, I could have gotten all that from sitting here under Chick's teaching, Pastor Chick's teaching on Sundays and Thursdays, because we know what he teaches. And we know what the Word of God says. But here's like rubber meeting the road. Join one and you'll find out what I'm talking about. Mine is going to be on Wednesdays. Johnny B talked about his being on Mondays, and Doug, yours is on Wednesdays, I think you said, right? Yeah, they all start at 7 p.m. Ed is still working out the details there, but you know, you can come talk to him any Sunday or Thursday, or just call him up, and you know, when he knows, he'll let you know. But we've all still got space, so if you're considering, if this has moved you at all to say, I want to join a home fellowship, they're going to start right after the church retreat. So this is like October 15th, I think, is the first day. And just come talk to us and say, yeah, I'm in. And then, you know, my house is, or the house that I'm in is going to open up at 6, and so is Johnny B's. But it'll just be a commitment for the period that we're in InReach, which is the fall, winter, and early spring. And, you know, after that, if you don't like it, like Doug was saying, like we're all different. Like there will be another one that will suit you more for where you're at in your life. But yeah, just come and talk to us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this body. Lord God, I thank you for the ministries that happen here at Calvary Chapel St. Paul, and for all of us just having the opportunity to come together and to get to know one another on a deeper level, and to just be involved in praying for each other, helping each other, just being of one mind in the body of Christ here, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our pastor, Lord God, and for just the ministry that's going on here, Lord God, that you would just bless it. And Lord, that you would raise up people here in St. Paul, Lord God, to just be a light. And Lord, that this church would be a brighter light to the neighborhoods around us, Lord God, and to the whole of St. Paul and the surrounding area, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these men who've stepped up, Lord God, to do a home fellowship. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless their time and bless people who haven't gone through one yet, Lord God, that you just be speaking to their hearts, whatever it is they need to hear. Whether it's encouragement, admonishment, or whatever, Lord, that your spirit would just be speaking to everyone and showing them how they can bring their gifts to bear in these home fellowships and to the rest of the body of Christ. I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.